Okay, enough Mayim Makomos sheets to go around. There should be enough to make it around the room. Okay, we start by extending a Mazel Tov to Rav David on his beautiful Siyum and his beautiful words. The truth is, I want to get right to the Basar, because many people wonder about the permissibility, and there's what to talk about the permissibility of making a Siyum during the 9 days. And David Chaim had Mesiras Nefesh the whole year to lag behind a little bit in the Daf Yomi, just so that we could be zochet to a Siyum during the 9 days. This was not a last minute, you know, maneuvering to get a Siyum. It worked out be'emes this way, and he's been working on it for a long time. But it's a very interesting question, the permissibility of having such a Siyum and eating meat during the 9 days. And therefore some people are hesitant. They're hesitant to join the Siyum. They're hesitant to eat meat. But I want to just share in the first source, the Chedushei Arim al Torah, in the section on the Bein HaMetzar. Chedushei Arim says, in fact, by the Chassidim, there's dafka a minag to make a Siyum and to eat meat. I wish a dafka try to find opportunities to be a part of such a Siyum. Why? Minag ha-Chassidim la'asos Siyum shal mesechta b'tes ha-yam ha-rishonim shal Av. The minag by many Chassidim was dafka to make a Siyum during the first 9 days of Av. V'tamo shal davar. And you hear the explanation, and you'll have better kavana for your second hot dog. Yishum shebeis hamikdash necharv beglal sin aschinam shayim b'neim. Why was the bias destroyed? Bias sheni, everything they were trying to metakin is the sin aschinam that caused chorban bias sheni. And the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that Abaye, when he would find out that a tzur v'mirabanan, when a young rabbinic scholar was zochet to complete a Masechta, he would make a yovah tava l'rabanan, he would make a siyum for the rabbis, for the Bnei Yeshiva, and everyone would get together, and everyone would celebrate, would be mishtatef, would be a part of the Siyum. Chazinan, he says where it's bolded, in the third line, the echon mirabanan de Siyum mesechta, hachaveir mayos masuda. So you see from this Maimra Chazal and Shabbos Kofir Ches, that when Abai would make a celebration, it was dafka to include other people. One person made the Siyum. I know the Vart from the Vilna Gaon, and when you hear a Siyum, it's ki'ilu, you learnt. It's as if everyone learnt. Right? It's not going to be ki'ilo, everyone eats. Everyone will be mekayim that papoel to make sure that everyone eats. But you see that part of the Siyum is a celebration of achdus, of Klal Yisrael, celebrating each other's successes. And that's a vina hafuchu of the sinas chinam that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. V'smeichin ze emzeh, ha-hefech misinas chinam, u'mishum, the final line where it's underlined. She'achor ben hayeh beglal sinas chinam. Since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of a lack of brotherly love, Jews come together, they sit together, they eat together, they spend time together, and Baruch Hashem, we learn together. And this is in many respects the greatest thing that we could possibly do in order to fight back. And therefore, again, it's a chashuv thing that we have tonight, such a beautiful siyum on a mesechta that is certainly worthy of a siyum. It's questioned, you know, different svarim wonder what's the minimum amount one can learn for a siyum. Baba Basar, I think, l'chol adeus. Is certainly enough of a mesecht of Shas to make a scene. And that's what we're celebrating. That's what's giving us strength. The strength of Torah and the completion and the celebration of Torah is what gives us strength to go on in the Galus. Shem Yishmuel writes in Parshas told us that by the chet of Eitz Hadas, the whole world crashed. Everything was destroyed in the world with the exception of one thing. There was one thing that's not touched by chet Eitz Hadas, which means when you stub your toe getting out of bed in the morning, that has a kesher to chet Eitz Hadas. But there's one thing that remained perfectly pure, untouched by the Chet Eitz Hadas, and that's the Torah. The Shem Yishmuel writes in this week's parasha, it's also in Baal Loscha, he says that when the Chorban Beis HaMikdash took place, everything in the world crashed down even further. But again, there was one thing that's not dragged down by the Chorban. Ein lanu shiur v'katorah zos, like we say in the Slichos. Not the Kinos, but the Slichos. Also right around the corner. Ein lanu shiur, we have nothing left but the Torah. It's all we have left. Says the Shem Yishmuel, in the name of Simcha Bunim of Rishischa, when everything came crashing down with Chet Eitz Hadas, when everything came crashing down with Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the Torah remains untouched. Torah Hashem Tamima, the Torah is perfect. And again, what better way to attach ourselves to try to overcome and to fight back against the Chorban of these days than through a celebration of Torah. So we thank you for your beautiful Siyam and your beautiful words. And Amir Tzashem, we should celebrate many more Torah occasions and Smachos in that way together. Amen. This Shabbos, we come to Chumash Devarim, entering into a new world. Chumash Devarim is a totally different world from the other four books of the Torah. And Klal Yisrael have a very special connection to Chumash Devarim. We relate to it in a different way. And the Gemara says it's a whole different style of writing. Moshe mipi atzma, Moshe somehow in his own way said Chumash Devarim. I don't want to get into that topic right now, exactly what that means. But we know from Sifrei Chasidus that the Kriya is Ma'orah the Zman, which means what's happening in the calendar is happening in the Parsha and vice versa. Which means that if we're beginning Chumash Devarim, right now as we're preparing ourselves, hopefully for the Simcha of Tisha B'Av, and if not, God forbid, another year of the Avelis of Tisha B'Av, we know there's a very strong connection there. It's not by chance that the calendar falls out this way, that we enter into Chumash Devarim at this time. How does Chumash Devarim begin? And how does it connect so obviously to the Bein HaMitzarim? The Bein HaMitzarim is a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rebuking us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a heavenly patch. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing his disappointment and frustration with us. And that's exactly how Chumash Devarim begins. The very first pasuk of Chumash Devarim, of its 955 pesukim, it begins in source number 2, Eila HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Klal Yisrael. Be'ever HaYardin, Ba'midbar, Ba'arava, Mosuf, Bein Paran, Bein Tof, V'Lavim, V'Chaseros, V'Dizav. What's going on in this pasuk? As Moshe recounts places that Bnei Yisrael traveled, that they spent time, some of these places we don't find actually even existed. It says Rashi in source number 3, Lefi Shehein Divrei Tochachos. These are the words that Moshe spoke to Kol Yisrael. Right? Diburim. Dibur is a lashon kasha. Tochacha. Moshe rebuked Klal Yisrael. Umanakan kol ha-makomos she'achisu lifnei ha-makom. He mentions all the places that the Jewish people disappointed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefichach sosam esedvarim. But Moshe, in his kindness, being the unbelievable leader that he was, decided to conceal the full wrath of the rebuke. V'yizkirim beremez, and therefore everything that Moshe says to us, he does so beremez. He doesn't say it openly. He hints to it. B'pnei kvodan shel Yisrael. Yes, Rashi goes on and says that he got everyone together, that if anyone has a response, if you want to argue with me, Moshe says, speak now, speak up. Right? Moshe doesn't want someone showing up later and saying, well, if I would have been there, I would have said to Moshe, it wasn't as bad as Moshe remembers it. Moshe gathered kol Yisrael, Rashi says. If you have something to say, say what you have to say. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a stern rebuke to Klal Yisrael, but it's still done in B'derech Remez. B'pnei kvodan shel Yisrael. Ba'midbar. If only we would have died in the Midbar. Ba'arava. Ba'al Pa'or. Mol Suf. Mol Suf, and Klal Yisrael said, Hamibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. Bein paran, bein tof of a lavan, the meraglin. When they complained against the lavan, the white man. V'chatzeiros is the machlokas of Korach. Dizahav is the egal azav. It's not exactly in order necessarily, but Farshim talk about it. But Moshe is hinting to many, many, many tragic moments of our history, but he does so b'derech remez. If they quote in Shal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also doing the exact same thing to Klal Yisrael at this time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rebuking us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it in a way that's b'nei kvodan shel Yisrael, which again is what I want to try to think about tonight. What does it mean to be mekabel the tochacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Bein HaMitzar? Many great tzaddikim understood Chumash Devarim as a gem, as a gift. Not just a sefer of tochacha that's trying to break us down, but a sefer of tochacha and musar and guidance that's trying to build us up. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin writes in the fourth source, Omer b'shem ha-Yehudi HaKadosh. He brings in the name of the Yer HaKadosh from Pershischa, Shem Yishmuel, this week's Parsha brings it as well, that the Yer HaKadosh was lamed b'chol yom eiza psukim yisefer mishnah Torah. The Yer HaKadosh, every single day of the calendar year, not only this time of the year, when we're entering into Chumash Devarim, but every day the Yer HaKadosh, the Holy Jew of Pershischa, Zuchusa Yagen Aleinu would learn a little bit of Chumash Devarim. She'amar Shehu Lo L'Sefer Musar. That was his Musar book. Not Mesilas Yesharim, not Orcha Sadikim, not Chovas Salvavos, not Shari Tshuva. Chumash Devarim. So says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, I don't understand. The Yer HaKadosh understood that there are many wonderful Sifrei Musar written by Tzadikim and Talmidei Chacham throughout the generations. Why Dafka Chumash Devarim? Why did he pick this? Why did the Yer HaKadosh feel this was the greatest Sefer Musar ever written? The truth is, it's not necessarily written right, as systematically as the Sefer Musar, as Mesilas Yesharim, right, as some of the other great works of Musar and Machshava that one could use to inspire oneself, to work on oneself. So it says Rav Tzadok in the second line where it's bolded, Mazeh Dafka Sefer Devarim, Halayish Kama Sefer Musar. He quotes from the Tanya and he explains as follows. The Baal Tanya, Zecher Tzadok HaKadosh Levracha, explained that there's different types, there's different ways to be makabel tochacha. It's one thing, I was talking to my daughter today, just got back from camp, Gabriella, And she always helps me with my shirim. So I said to her, I was telling her about the topic. So she said, Daddy, did anyone ever give you tochacha? So I said, yes. I said, one time I got real tochacha. She said, who gave it to her? I said, I'm not going to say. I said, well, one time I got real tochacha. I guess it's not a family member. I once got real, real tochacha from someone. Real tochacha. It was very, very intense. Right? So says the Baal HaTanya, there's a difference when you're sitting in front of a sefer, even if it's written by Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, even if it's written by some of the Gedolei Hadoros, and you feel that in some way, I'm in the presence of the Chovas HaLevavos, I'm in the presence of the Ramchal, I'm in the presence of whoever, I'm in the presence of Rabbeinu Yonah. True, but it's not the same when you're mamish standing, listening to the words come out of Rabbeinu Yonah's mouth. Or when you're standing in the presence of the Ramchal, whoever's giving you tochacha, when a human being, of flesh and blood, is speaking the words before you. The Baal HaTanya says there's a big difference in being mekabel musar from a sefer and being mekabel musar from a person. Moshe Rabbeinu, Eila HaDvarim, Asher Diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Eila HaDvarim is the plural version of Zeh HaDavar. Zeh HaDavar was the highest level of nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, to such a degree that Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking right through him. So says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Eila HaDvarim, these words, when you open up Chumash Devarim, it's not that you're reading an account of something Moshe Rabbeinu once said. Your mom is hearing the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a unique experience to be able to tap into the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. They should still be ringing in your ears. It says Rav Tzadok where it's bolded. V'chein kan mora gam kein lashon eila hadvar masher diber Moshe. Shezehu hakoach b'divrei Mishnah Torah. What's unique about this Sefer Musar? It's not a book. It's alive. The whole Torah is alive. And all tzaddikim, even when they're no longer in this world, the Gemara in Brachos says, the tzaddikim, afilu b'misasam nikru chayim, they're still alive. So everyone's alive. Every tzaddik that's no longer here is alive, but there's alive and there's alive. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when a person sits down with Chumash Devarim, and you learn this Sefer Musar, says Rav Tzadok, shemi shekori behem ukishomeya atam yipi Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is mamish speaking to. And that resonates in a different way. And if you don't know that, if you don't feel that, if you don't appreciate that, you should still know it's true, says Rav Tzadok. It's 100% true. That it leaves a roshim on a person. He ends by quoting the pasuk from the Navi that we read on the Haftorah, on a Tanis Tzibori, Yeshaya Perek Nun Hei. Right? The same way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu's word is still resounding in the world. It's a kol gadol v'lo yasaf, the pasuk says. It's a voice that never stops. Moshe Rabbeinu, as the transmitter of Chumash Devarim, it's a voice that never stops. Kein yed devari, asher yetim yipi lo yeshuvei lai rekam. These are words that are not said in vain, that are never lost on a Jew. And therefore, says Rav Tzadok in the final five words, Rak nichnas alev upalo betach, vadai, the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, enter into a person's heart. I'll tell you a beautiful story I saw in a volume of recollections from the Alexander Hasidim. It said that when the Yismach Yisrael passed away in 1910, the Rebbe of Alexander passed away, so his brother, his younger brother by 10 years, the Tiferes Shmuel Tzvi of Alexander, took over. And a young Avrich came to spend time with the new Rebbe of Alexander, a chassid by Alexander of Avrich, came to spend some time with his new Rebbe. And when he walked in, when he came to say Shalom Aleichem to the Rebbe, he was thinking to himself, I hope that the same way that when I used to come to the Yismach Yisrael, and the second I would see the Rebbe, just seeing him, before he'd say a word to me, I would have unbelievable hirhurei tshuva. He was thinking, I would like that the Tiferes Shmuel should be the same way. And it seems from the story that it wasn't exactly that way. Right? That they had a longing, I wish it was like the good old days, by the Yismach Yisrael, and just seeing the Rebbe. I wouldn't have to hear anything to be aroused to the thoughts of tshuva. That Shabbos, the Tiferes Shmuel, again, this was the early part of his Nesius, the Tiferes Shmuel began to darshan. And he was talking about Chumash Devarim. He says, why does Chumash Devarim begin? Eila Devarim, Asher Dibra Moshe, these are the words that Moshe spoke to Kol Yisrael. So he says, I'll ask you a simple question. Now again, the Avrich hadn't told him what he was thinking. He says, I'll ask you a simple question. He says to the Tzibor, and this Avrich is listening carefully. He says, why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to give Musar to Klal Yisrael? Even B'derek Remes. Wouldn't just seeing Moshe Rabbeinu be enough to inspire a person? Exactly what this Avrich was thinking when he came to the Rebbe. Wouldn't just seeing Moshe Rabbeinu be enough? So he says, of course seeing Moshe was enough. Of course, there are certain tzaddikim, you just see them and it's enough to be completely inspired, to completely change, to have intense yehurei tshuva. He said, but Moshe understood that there's going to be later generations, where the Rebbes are not going to be as big. The Manhigim, the Moshe Rabbeinus of the future, the leaders of the future, who are also called Moshe, are not necessarily going to have that same koach as the earlier tzaddik. in his humility. I think that the Tiferes Shmuel was saying, I'm not my brother. I'm not on the madrega of the Yismach Yisrael. He said, but Moshe Rabbeinu said that Eila Dvar Meshadivar Moshe al Kol Yisrael. That Moshe Rabbeinu created the possibility of other smaller Moshes to also be able to speak meaningful words al Kol Yisrael. And sometimes you can get through the tzaddik just by looking at the tzaddik. And sometimes the tzaddik needs to speak to you. But according to what Rav Tzaddik is saying, when we hear words of tocha and musar from our Rebbeim, when we open up svarim, right, and we're trying to tap back into something, we have the opportunity to hear from Moshe Rabbeinu. To mamish hear the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not to hear some leader today who's a bechina, who's an aspect of that great leader who was once upon a time leading Klal Yisrael called Moshe Rabbeinu. We today, says Rav Tzaddik, are still hearing the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's a big schus. To be able to makabel tocha from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a pachad, it's a scary thing, but it's a schus. One time the Sfas Emes came late to his grandfather's shir. Sfas Emes' father passed away relatively young, and he was raised by his grandfather, the Chiddush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe. So he came late to the shir one time. And afterwards, the Chiddush HaRim really gave him a piece of his mind about the importance of coming on time, and how inappropriate it is to be late for the shir. And the Sfas Emes was makabel the tocha. One of his friends said to him, who was also part of the shir, said to him, I know why you were late for the shir. You stayed up all night last night learning Torah. So you slept a couple minutes late, so you're running a few minutes behind schedule today, so you're a couple minutes late for the shir. Why didn't you tell your grandfather the justification for coming late to the shir? Why didn't you explain yourself? So Hashem has opened up a chumash to Parshas Matos. And he said, when the B'nai Gadim B'nai Reuven were being accused by Moshe Rabbeinu of not willing to fight for Eretz Yisrael, like the rest of the Shvatim, and they hear Moshe Rabbeinu out, and then they say, by the way, Moshe, you see from the response, Fasemba says, it seems like all along they were planning on helping out. So why did they interrupt Moshe Rabbeinu when he was giving them Musar and saying, you're going to sit out, you're going to sit here on the other side of the river, and Klal Yisrael are going to be fighting for their lives? Why didn't you interrupt Moshe Rabbeinu? Why didn't you offer your justification for your behavior? Why did you wait to makabel the tocha of Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Fasemba says, you see from here, because when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving you Musar, you don't cut him off. It's a schus to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu give you Musar, even if you're innocent. Even if you could talk your way out of it. To hear the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, to mekabel the Musar, the tochacha of Moshe Rabbeinu, is a big, big schus. And that's what we're zochet to. Again, this Shabbos, as we enter into Chumash Devar. Everything Moshe Rabbeinu said was tailor-made for us. The Chos of Lublin explained, in source number 5, that Moshe Rabbeinu's words were Al Kol Yisrael. Doesn't just mean Al Kol Yisrael in a general sense. Al Kol Yisrael means that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to every single Jew in a way that was appropriate for him. And we still have the opportunity to tap into those words. Chumash Devarim is like no other book that Klal Yisrael has. The Netziv, Kedarko B'Kodesh, often writes a hakdama, an introduction, to the different chumashim of Torah. And the Netziv, in his very poetic and beautiful way that only the Netziv could write, has some very, very beautiful words of introduction to Chumash Devarim. Look at these words. I have to share with you these words. You have to read them inside. The Netziv in source number 6. The great Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, he writes as follows. He's describing, first he's addressing the question, why is it called Mishnah Torah? Is it just a repeating of the mitzvot that we already know? He argues vehemently against that. No, there's many new things here. But then he writes as follows in the second little paragraph. V'yesh lahavin michol zeh. It's a book, Mishnah, he says, is a lashon of study. Study this book well. Says the Netziv, yesh lahavin michol zeh. Da'amidak dek yofa b'divrei musar shebezeh sefer. Sheyotza mipi Moshe Rabbeinu Baruch Hacha. If you learn this sefer carefully, if you pay attention to the Ruach HaKodesh coming out of the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, which again we learned is mamish out of the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, even b'zman hazeh, yimtza kol ish lapi ercho dvash v'chalav. You'll find sweet words of Musar. Encouraging words of Musar. Ad shegam, look what he writes here. This is a historically fascinating comment. Ad shegam Yoshua Rabban Shei Yisrael hishkiv b'zeh sefer tamid. It wasn't only the Yira Kadosh. It wasn't only the Yira Kadosh who sat with a Chumash Devarim as his book of Musar. Apparently Yoshua took this book with him also. And he would study it constantly, says the Netziv, in order to inspire himself to the message of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore each and every one of us have to appreciate the opportunity that we have. Chumash Devarim. To guide our footsteps through this confusing world. And this book can be a candle to guide you through the darkness of Golis, to guide you through the darkness of Olam Hazeh, as the Gemara says in Bav Metzia Daf Pei Gimel, that this whole world is compared to Choshech, compared to a dark night. And what better way to guide ourselves, the way that Yeshua that Yeshua, the great leader of Klal Yisrael, clung to this book. The way the Yid HaKadosh clung to this book, the way the Tzaddikim had such an appreciation for the Sefer. The words of Moshe Rabbeinu that are still being pumped into the world to carry it with us wherever we go. Satmar Rebbe used to joke, he said, people go away for the summer. People travel a lot in the summer. And it would be hard, you know, a Jew travels, he's the next farm with himself. So it's hard to decide which sefer most. I have this issue in a big way. When I travel, I always bring too many sefer. It's hard to decide what sefer should I bring along for Shabbos. So the Satmar Rebbe used to say, you know, you don't have to worry about it so much. This time of the year, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it the summer months, which are sometimes a challenging time for a Jew to behave the way a Jew is supposed to behave. You don't have to worry about deciding what sefer to take along, because you bring along a Chumash Devarim, and that's your Musar sefer, and you're good to go. Take your Musar sefer up to the country for the weekend. And you're good to go. Two for the price of one. You get Kriyas HaTorah, you get Shnai Mikra V'Chatarkov, and you get a Musar Sefer all in one. What more could a person desire? But this is Chumash Devarim from Amish from beginning to end. And therefore I conclude this section with the words of the Shalach Kadosh in source number 7. The Shalach Kadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, the Shalach Kadosh has in his writings at the end of each Parsha words of Musar. And he writes in next week's Parsha, in Parsha's Vaschanan, I don't need to work so hard to find the Musar Vart in Chumash Devarim. I don't need to work so hard to find the Musar Vart to inspire you, he says, in this Parsha. Why? He says, because the whole Parsha of Eschana is all Musar. V'chein kol ha-parshios Mishnah Torah kula maleim mitochos Musar. The entire Sefer of Chumash Devarim, every Pasuk, is a word of Musar, again, meant to guide us and to inspire us in a special way. What's interesting is that most people don't like Musar. And here we're describing the special relationship that Klal Yisrael have with Chumash Devarim. Especially the tzaddikim, what a special chavivus to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu found in Chumash Devarim. And it's a curiosity, why are we attracted to Chumash Devarim? Why does the Jew who has his heart in the right place, why does he enjoy Chumash Devarim? Again, if it's words of Tocha from beginning to end, who likes Tocha? Who likes being rebuked? Who likes being told that they're not acting in a way that's proper? No one likes that. No one likes that feeling. But I think if we understand, we go back to the Rashi that we started with, and we reflect on the very nature from the opening Rashi of Chumash Devarim, the very nature of this tocha. It's tocha that's given mipnei kvod anshei Yisrael v'derech emes. It's tocha that's filled with words of love. On the surface, it sometimes seems harsh. But if you have deep eyes, which a Jew has to have during these days, you understand what the goal of tocha is. You have to understand the way that Moshe Rabbeinu gives tocha. I'm reminded of the words of the Ramban in Zakdama Tochamash. The Ramban says, essentially, there are two main mefarshim who came, two main tzaddikim, Talmidei Chacham, who came before me, whose words I'm going to grapple with, whose words I'm going to include in my commentary, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, Rashi and Ibn Ezra. He quotes the Rambam also many times. But he says, Rashi and the Ibn Ezra are going to be my two guiding lights. Ramban is living shortly thereafter, after Rashi, after the Ibn Ezra. And he's writing, he says, I'm going to use the two of them and their commentaries on Chumash to guide me. And he says, Rashi, of course, Rashi. He writes so poetically, the Ramban's introduction, he says, Rashi is lo mishpat ha-bachora, Rashi is the ultimate commentary, and of course, with unbelievable respect, I'm going to have a drisha v'chakira with him, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, but certainly Rashi carries a very special place. Ba'avosam eshke v'imahem yeh lanu masu matan, he says, I'll be absorbed in his loving words, paraphrasing Mishle, Parakei, and I'll be swept up by his words, but I'm going to still debate with Rashi. And then he says about Ibn Ezra in the last line, in source number 8, Vim Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, tiyeh lanu tochachas megula va'ava misutara. With Ibn Ezra, I'm going to be much more fierce on the surface, but you shouldn't think that I don't love the Ibn Ezra. You should realize that while on the surface, I might have some fighting words for the Ibn Ezra, but in my heart, I have nothing but love. Paraphrasing another pasuk in Mishlei, in Perachav Zion, that you have in the footnote. The Ramban is saying that sometimes you could argue very vehemently against someone, and their position, and their outlook, but that doesn't mean that I don't love them. And maybe I'm arguing on them because I love them. Because I want to work with them to come to a truer understanding of Torah, of Torah Hashem, of how a Jew is supposed to live his or her life. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gives us tocha to begin Chumash Devarim, that's how we have to look at it. On the surface, yes, it's tochas megula. It's open rebuke. It's somewhat hidden rebuke, but it's still open rebuke. There's enough open rebuke in Chumash Devarim to put us on edge. And yet we have to remind ourselves, again, as Rashi tells us from the beginning, the way Moshe begins his Musar Shmos, that will span these 955 psukim, that it's Ava Misutara, that it contains endless amounts of hidden love that Moshe Rabbeinu has for Klal Yisrael. The Medrash lets us in on the secret. The Medrash, in source number 9, the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke words of love, and Klal Yisrael received words of love. Says the Medrash, Moshe spoke El Kol Yisrael Melamed, Shayu Kulam Bali Tochacha, V'Yecholam Lamud B'Tochachos. That Bnei Yisrael weren't broken by the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were Bali Tochacha, and they were able to Makabel Tochacha. They were able to stand, so they could take it. They could take a firm rebuke from Moshe Rabbeinu. How far have we fallen, says the Medrash. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Ha'avoda, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash. Im yesh b'dor hazeh amish yachol lochiach. Nowadays, no one knows how to give tocha. No one knows how to walk that fine line between sharp rebuke and endless love. And therefore, maybe we should avoid giving tochacha. Says Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Ha'avoda, im yesh b'dor hazeh amish yachol lekabel tochachos. I don't think there's anyone in the world today who's able to be kabel tochacha. You start to give someone a little bit of gentle mussar, right? And immediately they're so angry. They're angry at you, they're angry at God, they're angry at Torah, they have all sorts of issues, right? And they'll go through years and years of therapy because one time you told them, you know, that their jacket, the lapel of their jacket was up or something like that. You know, that's such a... Or you would tell them, in case you never learned the certain halacha, because I care about you, I want you to know, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Who are you to tell me what I'm allowed to do on Shabbos? Why are you always holier than thou? Why are you always telling me what to do? So Bezman Azeh, again, the Tanayim are saying this, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, right? There's no one who knows how to give tochacha anymore. However, Klal Yisrael knew how to receive tochacha. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to give tochacha. Says the Medrash in conclusion, Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he says, I can testify to the fact that Yoser Michamisha Pamim, more than five times I complained about Rabbi Akiva in the presence of Rabbi Gamliel and Yavne. And Rabbi Akiva received Musar and Tochacha, rebuke, stern rebuke, chastised by Rabbi Gamliel. And I could tell you know how Rabbi Akiva felt about me? The one who was complaining against him, the one who was getting him in trouble time and time again? Says the Medrash, V'kol kach yodea anibo shaya mosif bi'ava al kol achas v'achas. And I know that every time I got Rabbi Akiva into a little bit of trouble with Rabbi Gamliel, I can assure you that his love for me grew and grew and grew. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Al tochach leitz pen yisnecha. Don't give tochacha to a scoffer, because he'll hate you. But if you give tochacha to a chacham, a person who is be'emes a chacham, he'll love you more. Because he appreciates, he understands where you're coming from. You're not trying to hurt me. You're not trying to insult me. You're not trying to embarrass me. You're trying to build me up. The Gemara in Erechin, in source number 10, tells a similar story. The Gemara in Erechin, similar to Tanayim, again, the Gemara says there's an obligation, but you have to be careful not to embarrass a person. Well, that's a hard thing to do, to strike that balance. Not to turn my mitzvah into an aver by embarrassing the person I'm trying to correct, trying to rebuke. Says Rabbi Tarfon, I wonder again if there's anyone left in the world who still knows how to give tochacha. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azara, I wonder. I'm sorry, the other way around. I wonder if there's anyone who knows how to accept tochacha. That's what Bitarfon says, according to the Gemara in Erechin. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I wonder if there's anyone in the world who knows how to give tochacha. The Gemara gives an example. You say to someone, oh, by the way, you have a little something in your tooth. This is the example the Gemara gives. Remove the splinter between your teeth. Right? A person was picking some meat out of their teeth with a toothpick after a meal, and a little thing got stuck in the tooth. So you say to someone, I don't want you to be embarrassed. There's something in your tooth. Right? You should remove that splinter, that little piece of wood between your teeth. So the person says back to you, you should remove the beam between your eyes. Right? I was just trying to help you out. But again, we're a sensitive generation. Again, the Tanayim, we're already saying such a thing. So it appears that Rabbi Akiva in the Medrash in the Sefer is the outlier. It appears that Rabbi Akiva, who was able to mekabel tochacha, it appears that Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu, again, those are the outliers of history. To be able to give tocha in the right way, to be able to mekabel tocha in the right way. People are so sensitive, but the tzaddikim saw things differently. The tzaddikim understood getting tocha is a bracha. Even if it comes from someone who is, by my own assessment, smaller than me. Not as big as me, not as great as me. Rav Avram Janachovsky, the big tzaddik, tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, many, many volumes of Torah, many still being published. They published a biography of him. In the biography, it says that one time a young child said to him, totally out of line, a kid said to him, to this Gadol B'Yisrael, he said, you're being chutzpah. He said to Rav Avraham Janachovsky, you're being chutzpah, dick. So he thought for a second, and he said, maybe you're right. Imagine a Gadol B'Yisrael, some little kid, walks over to a Gadol B'Yisrael and comments, and as if he has a right to say anything to this Gadol B'Yisrael other than to humbly receive his blessing, and to say to a Gadol, what you said is chutzpahdik, a kid. And he said, maybe the kid's right. Maybe the kid's right. One time a child came to the home of the Chibina Rav. Shabbos afternoon, he's knocking on the door. He had a question, he's learning Chumash on Shabbos afternoon with his father. This kid has a question, comes knocking on the Chibina Rav's door. No answer. Keeps knocking. Father, the Chibina Rav comes to the door. And this child displays his question on Rashi before one of the Gedoli Hador. When the Chazon Ish saw the Chibina Rav, he's one of the few people the Chazon Ish quotes in all of his writings, but only Achronim, that the Chazon Ish quotes, the Dovid Misharim, the Chibina Rav. When he saw him for the first time, the Chazon Ish fell in love with this Jew. I was at a Levaya. He said he's never seen a Jew like this. Talking about a Gadol of a Gedoli Yisrael. So this little kid comes knocking on a Shabbos afternoon at the Chibina Rav's door. So he asks his question, a simple question. And the Chibina Rav sits with him, he answers the question. And as the child's leaving, he says, you should just know that if you come to someone's house on a Shabbos afternoon, you knock, and they don't answer, maybe they're taking a nap. And you shouldn't keep knocking. It's not their heart to keep knocking and to keep knocking and to keep knocking. So this child says to him, I never would have thought that the Chibina Rav would take a nap on a Shabbos afternoon. And he said, you know what? This kid is right. The Chibina Rav shouldn't take a nap on a Shabbos. The Chibina Rav is bigger than that. Chibina Rav doesn't need a nap on a Shabbos afternoon. And for the rest of his life, the Chibina Rav never took a Shabbos afternoon nap. It's b'kabbal the tocha of this little child. Reb Moshe Feinstein, when they built him a new office one time, he walks into his office. There's a bacher sitting there in his office. He has Reb Moshe's air condition on. He's holding a cold drink in his hand. He has his feet up on Reb Moshe's desk. And Reb Moshe's walking in to sit down with another bacher who he needs to talk to about a pressing issue. And when Reb Moshe walks in and sees this bacher with his feet up on his desk, Reb Moshe says to him, oh, I'm so sorry to disturb you. I didn't mean to encroach on your place. So the tzaddikim are willing, the tzaddikim with their sensitivity are looking to mekabel from others, to mekabel musar from others, to always lower themselves, to humble themselves before others, no matter what the situation is. That's how tzaddikim look to receive tochacha. Most people aren't thinking that way. Most people don't look to receive tochacha, and most people don't know how to give tochacha. Again, we don't have the sensitivity of Moshe Rabbeinu to strike that right balance. My brother was reminding me today of a piece Rabbi Nachman has in the Likutei Moharan, in the second section, in the Tinyana section, in Torah Ches, where Rabbi Nachman says, Bizman is that people don't know how to give tochacha. And you're better off keeping your mouth shut because you know what happens when you give tochacha? You take a garbage bag, right? You take a person's averos that hopefully have been lying in the corner, undisturbed, and all of a sudden you start waving around that garbage bag. Well, what's going to happen? The room's going to stink. If you don't know how to take out the garbage bag, if you're just going to cause those foul smells to spread further, then maybe it's better just to leave it alone, leave it undisturbed. Don't bring up the Aveira if you don't know how to heal the Aveira, if you're not a spiritual doctor who knows how to solve the problem. If this is what was the reality of the Tanaim Va'amoraim, if this is what the Gemara and the Medrash Chazal and the Sifrei is talking about, it's V'al Achas Kam V'Kama Tavei. We don't know how to receive Tochacha, we don't know how to give Tochacha, and the times have changed. And therefore we have a tradition for many, many great tzaddikim that we have to change. We have to change the way that we give Musar. We have to change the way that we inspire. We have to change the derech in chinuch when it comes to these types of matters. There's a sefer written by a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. It's called the Sefer Minchas Shmuel. I saw this quote initially in Revolbi's Sefer on chinuch, in the Zriyo Binyan B'chinuch, on page 26, and Revolbi discusses that there. But here's the quote. Here's what he writes from his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He writes in source number 11, I received from my Rebbeim, especially from Rav Chaim of Volozhin, Shebizeh hazman koshos eina nishma. That bizman hazeh, harsh words don't work. You could kick and scream, and you could yell, and you can rebuke, but you'll never inspire anyone. And you'll turn off a lot of people. And you're going to have to answer for it one day. Whether it's your wife, or your children, or your neighbors, or your community, or your talmidim, or your coworkers. Koshos eina nishma. Harsh words are not received. V'rak b'dvarim rachim v'tovim. And therefore we need to change to meet the needs of the generation. It's not enough for a person to say, I'm going to speak the truth and whatever happens, happens. It's a big discussion, and I've given it a lot of thought since I found this halacha about a year ago. There's a halacha in Yaradeya about a person who's acting inappropriately and needs to be put in nidwei or cheirim. A person needs to be excommunicated. Do I need to think about the ramifications of coming down hard on that person? Meaning, what happens if a person does a particular aveira that again, they have to, it's a big section in the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya. Nidoy or Chirim. Right? They have a violation and they deserve to be ostracized, to be excommunicated. Right? Do I need to think that, you know what, if I come down hard on this person, they might be so turned off, they might say, you know what, you're pushing me out of the Jewish community, that's fine, I'm out of the Jewish community. They'll throw off their yarmulke and they'll say, see you around. So maybe I'm going to cause this person, modern parlance, to go off the derech. Do I need to think about that? Do I have to be worried about that? Look what the Shulchan Aruch writes. However, al davar iser minadinos ala alter. A person who has decided, I don't keep this halacha, it's not for me, it's not in style anymore, we can put that person, we can give that person a lighter degree of chayram immediately. Says the Ramah, u'minadin l'mishu chayiv nidoy, v'afilu yesh l'chush al yedei kein yotza l'tar basra. The Ramah says, no mercy. If you're worried this person is going to go off the derech, the person is going to respond in a very negative way, that's not my problem. Ein l'chush v'kach, I need to do what I need to do. He's quoting from the Trumas Hadeshin. I need to do what I need to do. Says the Taz, which you don't have in front of you in a lengthy passage. It's not so simple. It's really not so simple. Because we don't want to lose a Jew permanently over a smaller Aveira. Not that we're able to judge Aveiras per se. But says the Taz, it's really, really not so simple. And maybe I do have a responsibility to think about how people are going to respond. Is someone going to be angry? Is someone going to be hurt by it? And maybe I need to change the way. Maybe I need to change the way that I speak to them or that I respond to their injustice, to their spiritual injustice. It's a big question. It's definitely an interesting springboard, this halacha and Shulchan Aruch and the Taz over there, the Ramah and the Taz over there. But certainly that's in terms of nidoy or chayr, which is more severe. But certainly in terms of just the language of the generation, the tochacha, the musar, the way that we seek to inspire, and the types of svarim that were written for our times, we have to find a language that works. We have to somehow be able to give a musar that's going to be received with love. And if we don't know how to do that, then we need to keep our mouth shut and allow only the experts who maybe still have a little bit of that kalach Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to say sharp things, strong things, powerful things, but to do so mipnei kvod anshei Yisrael, not to cross that line where, God forbid, Klal Yisrael feels broken and can't pick themselves up and go weiter. Rav Pam, who is a genius of an educator, Rav Pam's yard site is right around the corner, actually. His yard site's in Chodesh Av. So in the Atara LeMelech, in source 13, Rav Pam says that, and it's something to start thinking about, Elul's also right around the corner, there's different ways to do tshuva. Rav Pam says the olden days, the way that people would do tshuva, the way that the Sfarim taught us to do tshuva, ha-tshuva ha-ma'ula, kefish mitzuyeres b'shari, tshuva l'Rabbeinu Yonah, the good old-fashioned style tshuva, and the other Sifra Yira, was hu al-derech soser al-menas livnos. I'm going to destroy you in order to build you back up. Soser amanas livnos, to break you down, to rip you to shreds, and then to build you back up. Such a mahalich, such an approach was fine in the earlier generations. Maybe for very, very holy people today. The breaking of those individuals was in fact the purification of those individuals. But he says we're weak, and we're quick to be miyash, we're quick to give up hope, and we don't have the spiritual sensitivity that they once had, and therefore we're like kli cheres that once you shatter it, it's very, very hard to put it back together. You put us in the fire to refine us, but you'll shatter us. A person will be totally broken, and therefore you'll be left, instead of being a baal she'ifa, a person who's striving for tshuva and correction, tikkun of the soul, a person's left with sadness and yeyush, and merirus, and depression, God forbid. Ve'ein ladu mafsid gadol mizeh. You can lose everything in this way. And therefore, Rapam says, the svarim that once upon a time maybe spoke to a person, we have to speak differently. We have to encourage people differently. I saw Rabbi Tursky in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos. He was reminiscing about one of his European rebellion as a child growing up. And he said, I used to have a Rebbe, my Gemara Rebbe, who had a very clever way of being able to encourage people and at the same time pointing out their shortcomings. He said, we'd be learning a sugya, and one of the boys in shir would raise his hand, and he'd offer a suggestion, and was totally off. And he says, my Rebbe used to always use the following line. He used to say, you are 100%, he used to say with a European accent, you are 100% right, now let me show you where you're wrong. You're 100% right, now let me show you where you're wrong. That's how we have to look at people. It's like, you know, I understand where you're coming from. You're 100% right. I understand why you feel that you're allowed to do this or you can do this, right? You have to say, you're 100% right. Yeah, you're a perfect Jew. But let's talk about how you can be an even more perfect Jew. And to strike that type of language, to be able to give tochacha in that type of way, to have that approach to Chumash Devarim, that it's not Soser Amanas Livnos. Maybe once upon a time you could read it that way. We have to read Chumash Devarim from the way the first Rashi introduces it. They quote unto Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu, with his great delicate touch and his sensitivity, was able to give us Musar that we would be able to receive. Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. A Moed means a holiday. A Moed means an encounter. There's different types of encounters. Tzadikim used to say that a patch from the Rebbein Shalom, a patch, a slap from the Eibishter, is also making contact with the Kodesh Baruch. If Hashem slaps you across the face, say, hey, I was lucky today. I had dveikus in Hashem, I made contact with Hashem. Yeah, how did you have contact with Hashem? Hashem slapped me in the face. That's what Tisha B'Av is. Tisha B'Av is a slap in the face. It's a patch in the face. And you know what? There are some people who are big enough to be mekabel such a thing. There are some people who, even when a Kodesh Baruch Hu approaches them with midas hadin, they're willing to say, wow, I feel close to you, Hashem. Because even when you slap me around, I know that you care about me. I'll share with you a beautiful insight in the second to last source that I saw on a sefer called Nishmas Tzvi. The Nishmas Tzvi says, that's what David HaMelech was saying when he said, Va'ani kirvas elokim li tov. David HaMelech doesn't say, Yudkei Vavkei, Hashem's name of Chesed or Rachamim. David says, Kirvas Elokim. When I'm close to Hashem through Midas Hadin, that's also Tov. That's also closeness with God. Sometimes a person could have a Moed, an encounter, like Tisha B'Av, and that could also be a form of Kirvas Elokus, of being close to a Kodesh Baruch. The Papa Rav, one time when he was a young man, he traveled to the Belz Rebbe, of Aaron of Belz. And the practice was, what they used to have, they had a person outside the Beis Medrash who used to sell women's tichel for lighting candles, for lichbenchen. And you'd go to the Rebbe and you'd bring in the tichel. And the practice was that the Belz Rebbe would, Rav Aaron of Belz was Kodesh Kadashim, he would face the wall. He didn't look. He would face the wall. You put the tichel down for your mother or sister or whoever, your wife, on the table. And Rav Aaron would give a bracha, would bench the tichel, and then you would quickly remove from the table before the tzaddik would turn around. The Papa Rav of Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Naiman, when he was a young boy, was so enthralled looking at the Rebbe, he didn't know the practice, that he left the tichel on the table and the Rebbe turned around. So the Belz Rebbe looks at him, he says, a chassidish, a bacher like you, don't you know better? The Chazal warned that a man shouldn't look at Beged Isha, at a woman's garment. And the Gabayim are really, they're rushing in a pail, Rav Aaron's washing Negelvasa, he saw a woman's garment. He quickly picks it up, he says, go out, try again. So the Papa Rav, as a young boy, he picks up the garment, and he goes back out, and he comes back in, the bells are facing the wall, and he gives a bracha to the tichel, and he takes it off. Years later, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Naiman was a great tzaddik. Papa Rav in Montreal, Australia, was a great tzaddik, beautiful, beautiful Jew. I met someone who once knew him. He said he was such an Oev Yisrael, an unbelievably special Jew. And years later, he used to reminisce about that moment with the bells of Rebbe. And he says, it was such a pachad, it was so terrifying. He said, but you know what? I felt good. Because at least the Belz Rebbe, at least he called me a Chassidus Shabacher. He said, a Chassidus Shabacher like you should know better. And I felt good to know that, the Belz Rebbe says, I'm a Chassid. I'm a Chassid. He believes in me. That's why he's telling me I should know better. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a patch. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael, you're Klal Yisrael. I'm speaking El Kol Yisrael. I'm speaking to the essence of the Jewish people. Kol Yisrael, Yisrael, Chayak Olam Haba. I'm speaking to the essence of who you are. You know better than this. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not trying to break you. I'm trying to build you up. And that becomes our tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these days. And I want to end with the final source, the beautiful words of Rav Kook, when I want to turn a Torah into a tefillah. Rav Kook wrote in his journal about the Bein HaMetzarim, about the attitude that a person has to have to these days, in one line, and it's expounded upon in Rav Neria, Moshe Tzvi Neria's Sefer, the Moedei Araya. He explains so beautifully what perhaps this idea means. Rav Kook wrote in Source 15, Mibein haMetzarim nigal am al yedei morim chamushim begvura ruchanis. Rav Kook said, during the Bein haMetzarim, the Jewish people are redeemed by leaders who are armed with spiritual strength. She'einam tzrichim lemakel chovlim. That they don't need to hit. That they don't need to whip. They don't need the strap in order to set Klal Yisrael back on the path. This is what Rav Kook recorded in his calendar. And what does it mean? He goes on here and he explains, based on the Rokeach, the Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch, that a person is not supposed to hit during these days. A child who's out of line once upon a time, parents who would hit their children, not during these days. The Midas Hadin is too strong during these days. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we don't hit Talmidim, we don't hit children during these days. Rav Kook saw something much deeper in the words of that halacha, based again on one of the Rishonim of the Rukayach. He says here in the third paragraph, V'nehirchiv harav es inyan menias haramas haretzua betkuvas vein mitzar. The Rav, meaning Rav Kook, understood on a deeper level what it meant to hold back the rod, to hold back one's hand from striking during these days. Lo rak b'chinach haprat, elagam b'chinach hakla. Rav Kook saw within this halacha the key to geula. Keitza nitin la'ashpia ador kulo. How can I really change people? Right? If I hit someone, maybe I can keep them in line for a moment. But how do I really change Klal Yisrael to dust ourselves off on Tisha B'Av, that the moed shouldn't be an encounter of a patch, but the moed should be an encounter of a hug by a Kodesh Baruch? B'shashu nasan b'tzura masmedes b'matzav shal beinu mitzarim. B'shashu shoy b'mitzuka nafshis v'ruchnis. How can I lift people up when they're trapped, when they're feeling the weightiness of the beinu mitzarim? What's the right way to bring Klal Yisrael to Geula? Pisgamo shal harav koveyin, the final paragraph. Ki Geula sa'am min ha-mitzarim, the way to set ourselves free from this captivity, tavo lo b'ritzua makal chovim. It's not with a strap or a stick or a rod. Kedarcham shal tamidei chacham shel Bavel, as was the practice of tamidei chacham in Bavel. El ayidei morim chamushim begvura ruchanis. But people who are girded with spiritual strength. People who know, again, how to have a gvura, but also a gvura that's gentle. Look at the words that he has here. Al yidei morim madrichim b'makil noam. It's mamash astira minei ubei to use that phrase. Makil noam means what? A pleasant strap. What's a pleasant strap? What do you mean? What's a pleasant strap? How do you hit someone in a pleasant way? But Moshe Rabbeinu knew the secret of hitting someone in a pleasant way, of giving us mussar in a way that's going to make Klal Yisrael better. That's going to help us. It's going to help us on our transition to Eretz Yisrael, the way that Moshe was literally giving us guidance to get to Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we have to view Chumash Devar. And that's our tefillah to the Rabbeinu Shalom during these days. Rabbeinu Shalom, we know that you might still know how to give a heavy patch, but we don't know how to receive a heavy patch. 1,949 years of Galus, we don't know how to be makabel, the heavy patch, anymore. So therefore, Rabbeinu Shalom, like the Gemara says, there's no one left in the generation. We don't know how to appreciate the love of all of the tzaras that Klal Yisrael still experience today. And therefore, we ask you, Rabbeinu Shalom, to please, to change the mahalach in accordance with the derech of Rav Kook, Rav Pam, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, what the tzaddikim were saying. We have to change the language of Tochacha today. We have to speak in a way that is more revealed in its kindness. Not only that it should be tochacha megula, revealed rebuke, and ava mesuteras, but that it should be what? That it should be just the opposite. It should be ava megula. It should be revealed love. And I leave you with one final story. Rav Elia Lopian used to stand by the entrance of the Beis Medrash to pay attention to the bachurim who came to davening on time. And there was a bachur who was late a couple days in a row, and Rav Elia noticed that he was missing. And this bachur decided to get smart. He decided, instead of walking through the front door, like every normal bachur would do, he decided to climb through a window in the back to sneak his way into the Beis Medrash. That way he could sneak in late and hopefully not get caught. Rav Elia noticed, and Rav Elia came over to him, and he said, "Can I ask you a question? What time did you get the shachris this morning?" He says, "Rebbe, I was here before Ashrei." I don't know, maybe Ashrei was like the cutoff point, he got a check or an X. "I was here before Ashrei." And Bachar was telling the truth. He was there before Asher Yuval Tzion. He was there before Asher. So Rav Elia looks at him. Rav Elia says to him, he says, "If you knew how much I loved you, I would slap you across the face right now." And he walked away. Because Rav Elia understood that the door can't handle that. That the door doesn't understand how sometimes a Rebbe who slaps a Talmud, right, is really doing it because he loves him so much, and he's saying to the Talmud, he wants to restart, reboot his program, to understand who he is, that the Talmud should recognize who he is. But we don't know, Rabbeinu Shalom, that's our tefillah to you. We don't know how to be makabel the slap. So we ask you, Rabbeinu Shalom, to be like Rav Elia Lopian, to look at us and say that maybe we don't know how much you love us anymore, after almost 2,000 years of galus. And therefore, again, we ask you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, to give us nothing but revealed love. And Amir Tzashem, the Moed of Tisha B'Av this year shouldn't be spent on the floor crying over the loss of the Beis Hamikdash. We should be celebrating in the streets of Yerushalayim with the Geula Shleima b'Mehera b'Yameinu.